You know, I've noticed if you add the word real in front of anything, it makes it more valuable. Real leather, ice cream made with real cream, the price goes up. What was that one commercial? Real Corinthian leather in our Chrysler cars. But the word real makes all the difference. It seems to make things more valuable. I want to talk to you today about what James has to say about real faith. There are a lot of phony religions out there right now. People who think they're Christians and really aren't. In this passage, James talks about the difference between real and counterfeit Christians. And that's what we're going to get into today. Authentic believers and fake believers. He talks about how you can have real faith. And Jesus verifies this by a person's fruits. We're going to talk about one of the most controversial and misunderstood passages in the book of James. Many churches misunderstand it and try to use this passage to prove you have to work your way into heaven. But we know the entire New Testament teaches us just the opposite. We're saved by faith alone and not by our works. Then James comes along and says it's not just faith, but it's faith in works. So what's he talking about? Who's right, James or Paul? Well, I'll tell you this morning, they're both right. They're talking about different things, and it's a stumbling block for a lot of people, and for that matter, a lot of churches. You see, Paul was fighting a problem of legalism, the problem of, I've got to keep all the Jewish laws and regulations to be a Christian. Paul is talking about that group of people. James was not fighting legalism. He was fighting laxity, that laissez-faire attitude that some Christians have, those that say it doesn't matter what you do as long as you believe. They are fighting two different enemies, and they both use the word works, but in different ways. When Paul uses the word works, he's talking about Jewish laws like circumcision. When James uses it, he's talking about a Christian lifestyle, acts of love, and are totally different things. When Paul uses the word works, he's talking about the traditions that sometimes we fall into, even as Christians today. Paul focuses on the root of salvation, what happens to me internally. And James focuses on the fruit of salvation, what happens on the outside. And Jesus himself said, by their fruits you will know them. So that tells me Jesus expects some external evidence of our faith and our salvation. Paul is talking about how to know you're a Christian. James is talking about how to show that you're a Christian. Paul is talking about how to become a believer, and James is talking about how to behave like a believer. It's not a contradiction in terms. Let's look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'Abraham believed God, and was accounted him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see that then a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For the body, for as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. There's three prepositions in these passages. By grace, through faith, and not of works. And if you think you're saved by work for faith, you're in trouble. You've got them backwards. We're saved just by accepting the gift of God. But James gives us five principles here that we need to know that we have the real thing. And that's what we're talking about today, real faith, real Christian faith. In verse 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" See, real faith isn't something that you just say. This verse doesn't actually say he has faith. It says he has faith. He claims to have it. He talks about it. He knows all the right phrases, just like Christians today. I can stand up here and tell you I have faith, but is there any proof? Can you see my faith? It's more than just talk. Jesus said, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone with a Christian bumper sticker or everyone that holds up a John 3:16 sign at a ball game is a Christian or is going to heaven. Years and years ago, back in Cincinnati, there was a publisher. He published a smut magazine called Hustler. His name was Larry Flint. He claimed to be born again. He became a Christian. But you know, in his life, nothing changed. He continued to print that magazine and do everything that he did in his life. So he could say he had faith, but there was no example, no outward show that God had come into his life at all. Real faith isn't something that you just say. And it's not something that you just feel. It's more than emotions. A lot of people confuse emotions and sentiment with faith. You can be emotionally moved by a message but never do anything about it. You can go to church and get a quiver and get goosebumps during a song or during a message. But if nothing comes out of it, it wasn't real. Verse 15 and 16 said, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit?" You know, I remember a Peanuts cartoon. There was Charlie Brown and Linus. They were in the window looking out, and there sat poor Snoopy in the cold with an empty food dish. And they were discussing how sad it was that Snoopy was in the cold and his dish was empty. So Linus goes outside and says to Snoopy, "Be of good cheer, Snoopy," and goes back in the house. What good was that? What good would it be if we leave church here today? I walk outside and one of you had just shut his fingers in the car door, standing there in pain with a little blood on his fingers, and I walk by and say, "I feel for you," and continue going. It's not about the feeling. It's about the actions that I take. Real faith is getting assistance. Real faith is doing something about it. Real faith is something that you act on, not just words you say as you pass by. When you become part of God's family, you have family responsibilities. You have responsibilities to take an action and to care about other believers. 1 John 3:17 says, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart for him, how does the love of God abide in him?" What that means is real faith is generous. It wants to give. Real faith is a people that you can count on in a crisis. How many Christians have the the freedom to call you up in the middle of the night if they have a need. Think about it. How many friends you have would feel comfortable doing that? Not just talking the talk, but actually taking the action. And when you answer that phone, you don't have that emotion of being mad because they called at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you have that feeling of, how can I help you? What do you need? What can I do to get you through this? That's the real faith. That's the real Christian. 1 John 3:14 says that one of the proofs of salvation is that we love other Christians. We know that we have passed from death to life because we have the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Do you have fellowship with other believers? Real faith wants to be around the brothers and sisters. You love them, and we should know other Christians by their love. Being a Christian, being part of this family, shouldn't be just seeing each other on Sunday morning. It should be a care and a concern about their lives on a day-to-day basis. For a lot of us, we're a lot easier for us to verbalize our commitment than it is to act on it. Verse 17 says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If I don't feel like helping other Christians, I don't have a sick faith. I have a dead faith. James laid it on the line here when he says, do you want real faith? It's more than just something that you say, it's something that you do. And it's not just something that you think. For some people, it's an intellectual trip, a thing to be thought about, talked about, and compared. Verse 18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James says, show me. Faith is odorless, it's weightless, and it's invisible. So anybody can say they have it. It's like saying you have air. It can't be seen. It can't be held. James says, show me. If you claim to be a Christian, people will see your faith. They'll see your faith in the way you live your life. It'll be apparent. I don't know if I should give this example or not. Yeah, I'll go for it. Have any of you ever ate a Baconator from Wendy's? They're about that big, about that thick. They're huge. I read somewhere that faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you know they're there, and you can sure see the results. Well, you can't see faith, but you can see the results. And the result is in how you live your life. I can say that my health is very important to me. My personal health is the highest priority in my life. You might say, do you eat right? No. Do you exercise? No. Do you get your proper rest? No. Do you take vitamins? No. Do you ever go for a checkup? No. So you see, I can say my health is number one priority in my life. But it doesn't matter what I say, it's what I do that counts. And by the way, all that's not true. I have had checkups and I'm exercising and watching what I eat. So I haven't had a Baconator in a long time. But it doesn't matter what I say. It's what you can see me doing that determines my faith. You can see it and point it out in people's lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I want to tell you, if you grab onto an electric fence, you're going to know it. You're going to feel it. Been there and done that. And I hate to say more than once. But you're going to know it. So that makes me think that I don't know how anyone as big as God can come into your life and not change you. Just like grabbing that electric wire, it shakes you. It's got to shake you when God comes into your life. If there isn't any change, I have to wonder, did God really come into your life? It's what I can see in my life that proves my faith. Real faith always produces change. You know, maybe you ought to write that down on your bulletin. Real faith always produces change. There's no way it can't. And real faith isn't just something that you believe. Verse 19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Just saying I believe in God isn't enough to get you in heaven. I believe everyone here knows that. Even the demons believe, and it scares them so bad they shake. But they're not going to heaven. The devil's a good theologian. He knows a lot more about the Bible than you do, than I do. He's been around a whole lot longer. He knows theology backwards and forwards. He believes, and these demons believe. They understand the majesty and the awesomeness of God. They believe in God and they tremble. So how can we not tremble when we think about God and how great and how powerful He is? He loves us, but He wants us to do right. He wants us to follow His will for our lives. I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not a Christian because of head knowledge. I'm a Christian because I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and He is our Savior. A lot of folks are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. I know you heard that before. That's the difference between your head and your heart. Because they have Jesus in their head, they understand, but they never have Him in the heart. They never have the faith that comes with knowing Jesus Christ. Real faith is something that you do. Faith is active. Faith is service to God. There were two very different people, Abraham and Rahab. And if you stop and think about it, they're exact opposites. Abraham is a man and Rahab was a woman. Abraham was Jewish. Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham was a patriarch. Rahab was a prostitute. Abraham was somebody and Rahab was a nobody. But he uses these illustrations to say that it doesn't matter who you are. It's faith demonstrated by works. Your willingness to serve and to listen. Let's look back at James, verse 21 through 24. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. So how do we know it? We see it in Abraham. We behave in a way that our belief comes out visibly. We all know the story. It's the ultimate test where God asked Abraham to give up his own son. And it has nothing to do with salvation because Abraham was already a believer. 25 years earlier, God had said, you're righteous. He's not talking about being saved by his works. Abraham was already there. He's talking about Abraham's faith. His willingness to sacrifice his only son to God just because God asked him to do it. And Abraham obeyed God. It was a demonstration of the faith that he had. God said, I was just testing you to see what is the most important thing in your life. You know, we'll face those tests in our life. We may not be asked to give up a child, but we may be asked to give up something that we hold dear. And the test is whether our willingness to give it up, to walk away from it in faith because God asked. Abraham held nothing back from God. Verse 25 and 26, we read, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Talks about Rahab. This comes out of Joshua 2. It's the story of how the prostitute Rahab hid the spies and sent them out another way. And we all know where that ended up. Rahab ended up in the family line of Jesus Christ. Rahab demonstrated her faith by her work. See, our faith isn't determined by what we do. Our faith is demonstrated by what we do. It's demonstrated by our actions, and our actions speak louder than any word that we can say. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? I want to ask you today, do you believe that your works, the things that you've done, let's just go back a year, demonstrate Jesus Christ living in you? Do your works demonstrate that you're a changed person from the one that you used to be? Can people look at you and say, something's different about him? His life is so much better. Can he look at you and say, that man truly is a believer, or that woman? Paul says to the Christians at Corinth, examine yourselves. I want to ask you here today to examine yourselves. You know, you might say, I don't need to prove my faith to you or to anybody else. And you're right, you don't. You don't need to prove your faith to me. But I'm asking that you prove your faith to yourself today. Examine yourselves. See what's going on in your life. And after you've done that, ask yourself, what changes can I point to that others can see? Is my lifestyle any different from my coworkers or my friends that aren't Christian, that aren't saved? Can you see a difference? So many people think it doesn't matter how you live your life as long as you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But I hope you get from the message today that's just not true. We don't get to heaven by works. We get to heaven by the grace of God and our faith when we reach up to Him. But when we do that, our lives should be changed. Should be like touching that electric fence. We should want to live a better lifestyle that reflects Jesus Christ back, not for ourselves, but for those around us. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads. James isn't saying that you have to work your way to heaven. He's not saying that your works bring on salvation. All he's saying is that you should demonstrate your works, or demonstrate your faith through your works. I'm sorry. He said, and if your faith doesn't work, what good is it? Maybe today you need to settle it in your mind. Maybe you've had some doubts about where you stand, whether you're really a true believer or not. Yeah, maybe you're a good person. You go to church. You've known about Christ. You've read the Bible. You've had religion. You've gone to classes. You go to Bible study. But are you absolutely sure if you died today, would you go to heaven? You can be sure. You don't have to leave here today and have a shadow of a doubt. You can settle it right here. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." God's grace is when he reaches down. He extends his hand down to you, and the faith is when you reach your hand up to him and say, "I know you, Lord. I want to have a relationship with you." That's called salvation. And that's what it means to be a believer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the writings of James and of Paul, a demonstration of our faith. Father, I just pray that in my life I can demonstrate my faith by the actions that I take, that people can look at me and say, "His life has changed, and he's a better man for it." Father, I thank you that you talk to me, and I just pray that everyone here's ears are open, their hearts are open to hear you as you speak to them. As always, Father, I just pray for unity of this, for this body of believers and direction. I pray that you'll give us all strength and wisdom, Father, as we go out and we work among the lost. Father, use us. Use us to get the word out about Jesus Christ and to share that, the unconditional love that you have. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.